In today's episode, Mike made a turkey, Samantha has cat fur in her mouth, and I hate Ben Stiller, and he's not even in the movie we're talking about. This is The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Speed Racer, because it's our most problematic episode.
Jeez. I don't think that's true.
I don't remember what we said. Just talking about the cast, I think.
Oh, we're talking about they had problems. Yeah, I guess.
Ready.
Excellent. All right. So, we want to talk about the movie first, or do we want to talk about the game first? Games we've been playing.
Let's do a movie.
Let's do the movie first. Okay. We can do that. That's a change of pace. Kind of like this film today. Hi. Welcome to Funsphere Game Club. Or, excuse me, Funsphere Movie Club. I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I'm Kingsley.
There you go.
And I'm today. I take it back. I'm the weird fucking fish.
The Jaguar shot.
Excellent. Jaguar. And with that out of the way, today we are talking about The Life Aquatic with Steve. How is it actually pronounced in the film?
Zissou.
All right. And for folks that don't know, I'll just give a super brief intro to this. This is a 2004 comedy drama film written and directed by Wes Anderson. It's his fourth film in a string of what can only be called Wes Anderson films. So, why don't we go around today and share our thoughts on this film?
Wait, is it the fourth?
Yes, it is.
Because Bottle Rocket was his first one.
Royal.
Oh, yeah. Rushmore.
And then Royal Tenenbaums.
And then Royal Tenenbaums. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen He made Darjeeling Limited, right?
Yep.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
It was all right. Good, not great.
All right, so Mike, this was your suggestion, so why don't you tell us what you thought about it?
I fucking love it.
Okay.
That and Pee-wee bounce back and forth between my favorite movie of all time. So.
Okay.
Gonna be a little biased in this episode.
Well,
nothing
that's the
anyone
point.
Can say that will rain on my parade.
Okay. So, like, what draws you to this movie? Was this the first Wes Anderson movie you saw, or had you...
It was the first Wes Anderson movie that I had seen, and I think I saw it in 2005 at a friend's house.
Okay.
And it was the first remotely artistic movie I'd ever seen too, so that probably plays a big hand in it.
Okay.
Like, before that, movies were only like blockbuster stuff that everybody knows about.
Okay.
I'd never seen any kind of indie film or anything like that. I was immediately drawn to the soundtrack, which is fantastic. The humor, how quirky. Like, that's stuff that I had only ever witnessed in television. So it was surprising to me that, oh, yeah, there's a place for that in cinema as well.
Sure.
And I don't know. I love the characters, love every freaking thing about it. I love the fact that all the creatures are claymation.
Yep. They are.
There's just a whimsy that drew me in.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Samantha, what were your thoughts on the movie?
I really like this one. And this actually, I remember when it was coming out. I thought it was about a real guy.
Okay.
I didn't know about Wes Anderson or anything. I actually didn't watch this until after I saw Moonrise Kingdom, which I think was my first Wes Anderson movie. And I really liked that. So then I went back and I watched this and Royal Tenenbaums. And then I just started, like, getting really into Wes Anderson and, like, looking and was like, okay, so his first couple movies he directed aren't really his style because they weren't, like, he hadn't, kind of like David Lynch.
Yeah, like, hadn't found it yet.
Yeah, yeah, or, like, he was,
or was
doing
still
somebody else's
feeling movie. His way into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that's
that is
hearing.
That's an interesting take. I like that. Okay.
It's, well, like, the discovery of him, his style.
Yeah, okay. like Dune is somebody else's project that mostly that David Lynch was just in charge of, right? So you can kind of see the beginnings there, but it's not like Mulholland Drive. And I think some of the similar type of thing with the earlier Wes Anderson things. Anyway, I went on like a Wes Anderson film journey.
Okay.
And this one is definitely in my top two. I really like Moonrise Kingdom. That might be the first one. And this one. And actually, this top three now, because I really liked Isle of Dogs.
Okay.
But yeah, this one's great. I love, as always, you know, the cast in these things are always just crazy. And I'm always happy to see Angelica Houston. Yeah. And I like... I also really liked the weird that they'd never find any, like, real... fish from our world.
No,
there.
No,
they were,
I
like,
don't think
weird
so.
Freaks, but they were just like, oh, there they are. Those always existed here. I like this almost sort of monotonous whimsy. Like, it's casual, it's over the top, but it's, they don't act like that. If that
yes.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
what I like about it.
Well, and that's part of the humor too, is these ridiculous scenarios that they're treating completely normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a level of absurdity that is great. So since you got on a Wes Anderson kick, did you also notice that this is his worst received movie?
I didn't. I thought, okay, I've seen too modern now, because this was a few years ago. I know I haven't seen his latest one, because I heard that one is, like, trying too hard. But
oh, French Dispatch?
Yeah.
We still haven't watched that one.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't look up any reviews or anything. I just found them and watched them.
Yeah, for some reason, people hated this movie. And that always drove me crazy. Because, like, I really enjoyed Royal Tenenbaums. That might be my second favorite.
Maybe.
But
it might be because this
still,
is kind of a big...
This is way better.
This one came after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because, like, Royal Tenenbaums is weird, but it's still super... But it's still, like, really grounded compared to this. This one might have been, like... Because it doesn't seem that... How do I put it? Like, just with, like, the sea creatures and sort of the more... this one feels slightly more absurd than Royal Tenenbaums. So maybe people were like, whoa, this is weird, I don't get it.
I feel like he took so many more risks in this movie than he has
yeah.
in other movies, though. Like, there's... So, Josh and I rewatched it last night, and...
Yep.
I, like, way more action than I've ever seen in a Wes Anderson movie. The death scene still gets me choked up. Like, what they do with sound during that moment, and, like... The way that you can see the blood trickling in, and
yeah.
then every time the water goes over that, like, stuff I never would have thought to do if I were making a film.
Yeah, it's interesting you guys were talking about the critical response. I was just reading on the Wikipedia about it, and, like, it seems to be sitting at, like, almost a dead average. It's, like, just slightly over 50% approval ratings on a couple different things. And this one,
which is ridiculous.
It was just
what the hell else came out in 2004?
Maybe that it was just notable. Too like a smidge too strange to win over the normies.
So I'm going to give a shout out to apparently Anthony Lane has a real good line in here that kind of like sums up the feeling I kind of have about the film. That basically the underaction of Anderson's characters used to be hip, but it's now become frozen into mannerism. And that, you know, basically his action sections are just basically just play acting and stuff like that. So I mentioned earlier, I thought Samantha's take that this is, you know, Wes Anderson didn't always have this style. Like, I like this movie. It's perfectly enjoyable to watch, and I will admit, I actually enjoyed it more on this second time watching it through than I think I did the first time. But it is definitely sticks out as just another Wes Anderson movie to me. It's one of the things, I don't dislike Wes Anderson, but I agree that his style is such his style that all of his movies kind of seem like the same thing to me, even though they have vastly different plots and stuff like that. As I was pointing out to Mike, you're always going to have some super tight shots on people. You're always going to have these crazy color schemes. You're always going to have these buildings that haven't existed for like 40 years and like people wearing clothes that they were a product of their time and stuff like that, but people didn't actually wear it like that. So
that's
like
not accurate.
I just like like his.
We only watch movies that are hyper realistic.
No,
everything
no, no,
else
no, no,
is
no.
garbage.
The only thing Wes Anderson can knock off is stop killing animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be his most endearing trait as a director.
But what I was bringing up to Mike,
it's animal abuse,
before we even watched this movie was like, I think the sign of a really good director is someone that can make a film that you don't think is made by them. Like, Spielberg can do Schindler's List, and he can do Jurassic Park, and he can do E.T., and those are all vastly different. He can do serious, he can do hilarious, stuff like that. Other directors can do it as well. Wes Anderson, you can spot a Wes Anderson film a mile away.
Well, I think that's because he has that privilege. It's like a privilege to be able to just he might be able to do other things, but why?
Oh, well, and I would argue that it's also a product of our landscape.
Okay.
Now, like, yeah, the directors back then were more versatile, but there was way less competition. And there was way more money coming in. But now everybody's having to fight. And the way that you do that is you create a unique voice so that you stand out.
Yeah. I feel like I watch a Wes Anderson movie because I want the things that I expect from a Wes Anderson movie.
Okay. But can you then...
Like, Tim Burton. Are you going to shit on Tim Burton just as much as Wes Anderson? And he did it a decade before.
No. Because he can do different type of movies.
But they all have that very Tim Burton, anybody can spot it from a mile away style.
Kind of, sort of. He's the same
definitely.
Way. But I'll say this, like, so, but then you can understand that people have that criticism of like, oh, this is just like all his other movies.
Well, yeah, I would say you're probably just not like a, that's why I said, if you go to a Wes Anderson movie because you want to see a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't go to a Wes Anderson movie thinking, I want to see something I've never seen before.
He better do something different this time, or I'm out, I swear to God. You're not wrong,
from now
Josh.
On,
it's
I want funny. A different Josh every podcast recording.
You got it, bud. No problem.
You got a blank slate. You can put a new thing on every... You can be like Moira in Schitt's Creek. You can come with a new look every time.
I don't know who that is. I've never seen that show.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, you definitely know who that is.
Wears different wigs and things all the time. So she always has a different look.
She was in Home Alone and nothing else.
Beetlejuice.
She's in Beetlejuice.
I know, it was a joke.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to also get this out of the
Nightmare
way.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes, she is. She plays one of the little characters. The little.
Hey, look, she's like Owen Wilson and Bill Murray, as is to Wes Anderson,
and
as
guy,
Catherine O'Hara is to Tim Burton.
That other guy from Scott Pilgrim.
The other guy from
Brown Hair.
Okay. So, you guys, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I maybe also have something in my brain that makes me be a little more harsher on Mr. Wes Anderson. Do you guys know who Paul W.S. Anderson is?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he the... Wait, no.
Hold on.
I'm thinking of Thomas Anderson.
Okay. No. I think I'm going to look this guy up because I have an idea in my head.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
Gotcha. I'll give you a second to see if you can figure out.
Oh no, I was thinking of a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, Resident Evil. Oh, there was a Monster Hunter movie. What the fuck?
Yes. So something in my brain makes me go every time I hear Wes Anderson. I think of Paul W.S. Anderson, and I immediately get angry. Because, like, he did Mortal Kombat, the first one. That's cool. That was all right. But basically, all he's done is, like, Resident Evil films and other movies to put Mila Jovovich in. So, as soon as I hear, oh, a new Wes Anderson movie thing is coming up, like, my brain, for some reason, makes that association with the guy that directed and ruined Resident Evil for me. Literally, that was I almost walked out of the theater watching the first movie because I was so hyped for that.
Get
and
out of here, Diane. Wow.
He just slaughtered that. And they keep making them.
There's a monster. He made a Monster Hunter movie.
He made an isekai. Yeah. Yeah, that guy. So that guy keeps making trash. And
is this the new, this is this generation's trauma?
No, because
like how do they keep
he's
pumping these shitty movies out?
No, it's not trauma films because those go in with the idea of we know this is camp, and the other guy goes in.
You think he's intentional?
Oh, he's,
and it just comes off.
He's totally. He is one. He's like, I'm making this video game movie. I'm making it on the cheap, but God, am I not taking this, like, way too seriously? And I'm also only going to use, like, I'm banking on the IPs that I'm making movies of, but I will do nothing to pay any, like, respect to them. I will use them in name only. Then to build a six film. Oh, God, I'm just getting pissed just thinking about the Resident Evil movies. Ugh.
This is a you problem. This is not a Wes Anderson problem.
I agree. He suffers because of my issues.
Universal.
I agree wholeheartedly. And it is, I'm admitting from the jump, it's unfair to the man. He is critically acclaimed, but unfortunately, like we were talking about last night, Mike, everyone has that person that you get attacked, like something in the back of your head just will not allow you to enjoy anything they do.
Yeah, Josh Hutchinson.
Okay.
Drew Barrymore.
Ben Stiller. So he's got, yes.
Of all the people.
Yes.
I still think you should watch Severance.
No, can't.
Yeah, it is on our list.
Can't do it.
Angela and I have an ongoing list of TV and movies to watch.
Yep.
You will love Severance. I'm so sure, and I think Josh should watch it too, even though he has a stigma. But you won't even know Ben Stiller is involved or in it, except for the name.
Except that I already know, so therefore I'll go into it with a dour disposition.
Chip on your shoulder.
Exactly. Man, fuck Ben Stiller. His dad was so funny, and he's not.
Well, I have cat hair in my mouth.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's truly the most tragic thing I've heard today.
All right, back to the movie.
Back to the movies.
Okay. So, Michael, you said you mentioned that you saw it at a friend's house. I think that's funny to mention because I saw it at your house originally.
Yeah, which I had no recollection. And you said that it was a Thanksgiving dinner that I cooked. And so I did some research scrolling through my phone photos.
Yeah.
And it was not Thanksgiving. It was I cooked a turkey and it was in February.
Close enough. Close enough. Okay. So
because I think it was because like my mom at her work, they used to give her turkey vouchers.
Yeah.
And she ended up giving it to me and it was like right before it expired, so I was like, "Damn, I have to cook a turkey."
Oh. That's so weird that we like we both acknowledge that this event happened, but we both have misrememberings about when and where and who was involved. Yeah. That's
it's
so
because it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It's so weird. Because, like it was a decade ago, and if I think about whenever I was 20 and try to recall stuff from when I was 10. It's just as difficult, but the older you get, the more grief you give yourself about, I should really remember that.
Yeah.
It's true. Because but in the back of your mind is the fear of Alzheimer's and dementia.
It really is.
Or
I've seen too many people that had it that it's fucked up.
Or looking back in like regret, like this movie is about Steve Zissou. He's worried about his legacy, and
he should be worried about his legs at sea.
Oh, well done. All right, so I'm gonna ask this. You guys know that little message at the end of the movie where it's like, I don't remember if Jacques Cousteau had just died. But it was like, thanks to him for his career and his crew that had absolutely nothing to do with this movie.
But, it did because Steve Zissou was a stylized Jacques Cousteau. Just not, like, they didn't want anybody to assume, like, his character was like that. They just, it's like bringing back Owen Wilson. I don't know if you guys have seen this new movie he's in, but it's a very stylized version of Bob Ross.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
I saw the poster, but has it come out? I didn't know that.
Or it's coming out, but we watched the trailer for it and I was like, what the fuck? They're clearly doing Bob Ross, but it's in a situation that Bob Ross would never be in. If you guys haven't seen this, we just went and watched it a couple months ago, and I really recommend it. Kidding?
No, not familiar.
It's so it's Jim Carrey. It's Michelle Gondry did it, and like Jim Carrey is playing this Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
Essentially, but he is going through a divorce and his family is falling apart.
Oh my god, his last name's Pickles.
Yeah.
Rugrats much?
It's so good.
Oh, it's on Showtime? I don't know how I'm going to watch
it. And it's brilliantly shot. That's, I think, Michelle Gondry. But, like, there's this scene that they do with the girl from Garfunkel and Oates.
Okay.
Which one?
Is a guest star. The blonde
Ricky
girl. Yeah, so they do this montage where she's going through her apartment and the camera is following her. And you can see the behind the scenes, how they shot it on YouTube. And it's insane. Like, it's all shot in real time. And they just have, like, tons of people going in and out of the room, like, switching stuff to make it look like time's passed. And she's even, like, swapping wardrobe as the camera's moving. Yeah, it really, really, really good show.
Actually, we just got a Showtime trial to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, so I think we'll watch this.
Wait, so
you definitely should.
Did you say this was a show or a movie?
Yeah, it's a show. It was 2 seasons, so you can get through it pretty quickly.
Judy Greer. Oh, is this before he murdered his girlfriend with drugs?
Wait, what?
Who
are we accusing of murder?
Jim Carrey.
Wait, for real?
His girlfriend OD'd and died, I believe, and he was accused of providing her with the drugs, even though she was like officially accused in courts and stuff, because she was like really depressed or something. There was something about her mental state that wasn't right, and so she really shouldn't have had them, but he gave them to her anyway.
Wow, I've not heard any of that.
It comes up for a little bit, and then this thing just goes away.
That doesn't sound like the man that was Ace
Jim
Ventura.
Carrey's actually insane, so it does a little bit sound like
he's.
He'll
have like a really motivational speech at a college, and then he'll go off and do some nut job kind of stuff.
Yeah, you should watch his comedians getting coffee in cars or whatever the fuck. He says something about how a dolphin told him to continue acting or something.
Well, and his whole, that whole, I don't know if you guys watched the, it's like a documentary about him playing on Man in the Moon.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's disturbing. Mm. Like, you come out really not liking Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's got some problems, but I can appreciate things, you know, everybody's crazy now.
Yeah. Well...
True.
I mean, I don't embody Andy Kaufman, and that was his big argument, is that Andy Kaufman is coming into him and working through he's the vessel.
Yeah, that sounds
which is fucking garbage.
That tracks, yeah.
That's either like complete garbage or like so sanctimonious that it's like, I can't believe you're literally saying.
In the comedians one again, like they go to the waitress there, he's like, what's your name? And she tells him, he's like, no, what's your true name? I feel so bad for her. Like, it's Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Carrey just like asking her these weird ass questions. Please leave me alone.
Alright, well let's
the only thing I can think of that would ever clear him as if he didn't know anything about Andy Kaufman. Whenever he got the gig for the movie, he learned about his humor and was like, this is the greatest thing ever. How can I do it? Like, push the envelope even further. He did it.
Okay. He's been doing a bit for the last 15 years.
But yeah, I mean, that's his only saving grace at this point. And I really don't think... But then again, a lot of people thought that Andy Kaufman was serious about stuff that was a bit.
Totally a bit, yeah. So, back to the movie that we're talking about. Like, the funny thing is, all this conversation we just had could have been part of any Wes Anderson movie. The events we were describing, all of those could fit. Like, let me ask you this. Do you come away from Wes Anderson films thinking that the characters are good, bad, indifferent? Like, is the scenario these people are in more important? Like,
I think it's a little of everything.
Okay.
I think the characters that are centralized, you want to believe that there's some growth there.
Okay.
But it's hard to tell. Like,
like Steve himself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Steve obviously grew.
Really?
Throughout the show.
I still, like,
or the movie.
I'd come away with it, maybe he's like 1% better, but he's still the same kind of asshole.
He came to terms with a lot.
Okay.
Like the fact that he was going in and, like, he had concentrated so hard on his career and had kind of ignored all aspects of, like, family and, like, this career isn't going to last forever kind of thing. So he did a lot to build relationships with people.
Hmm.
I mean, you see it in the last scene with him bonding with a kid.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, he's also...
There are people like Jeff Goldblum's character where I don't think he grew.
No. And like one other criticism I have, this is where like Jeff Goldblum became Like, he stopped becoming an actor, and he's just being Jeff Goldblum in a film. The man is just being himself, and I kind of find that slightly annoying in this movie.
I don't think...
Because he is capable of being a decent actor. He really is. But he just starts leaning...
He
leans so hard into, like, his quirkiness, and I can't tell if that's a bit or not.
Yeah, but there are so many actors that... They're essentially themselves in every role, but they still... I think the casting makes a difference because it's just happenstance that the Jeff Goldblum style is what this character needed.
Yeah, he's basically like an A-list character actor, I would say. Not everyone is Cate Blanchett, who is just in every movie and always different. Mm.
Or, like you talked about, another person that you found offsetting. Or, no, was it Angela with Tilda Swinton?
Oh, yeah. Tilda?
But no. Who, like, completely transforms in every movie she's in.
Yes.
But not everybody is that kind of actor.
I guess it's true.
Like, Matthew McConaughey is Matthew McConaughey in every movie he plays.
That's true.
I'll argue that. In A Time to Kill, he plays that very seriously.
I haven't seen that.
It's quite good.
What's his name? Oh, my God. We're watching West Wing right now. Rob Lowe. I've only seen him in two things, and he is the exact same character.
Rob Lowe is Rob Lowe.
He's not a movie star, though. But still.
So, again, my brain association. Every time I hear Rob Lowe, you know who I think of? Rob Schneider.
Oh, not even close.
No. No, it's not, but it's just a...
Can you imagine Rob Lowe and Deuce Bigelow?
Yeah.
Yes, actually.
It would be less absurd, though, because Rob Lowe is actually, like, handsome.
Oh. Poor Rob Schneider.
No, I don't feel bad for Rob Schneider. He's an asshole. You should look him up.
Is he?
Yeah. I'm just basing this on his politics, but whatever. I'm making a stand.
Samantha, you go hard after celebrities. You do.
I can see him.
Go hard. I mean, I'm just treating them like I treat everybody in my life, so.
So, like.
Well, and I think celebrities, you do have to kind of hold them to a higher pedestal because they have a platform that directly influences a ton of other people. Yep. So if you have shitty beliefs and everything, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. I'm a little sweary today.
You are. It's great.
Sorry, I swear a lot.
Nah, it's fine. It's
just like Live Aquatic.
I was gonna say
effing.
We've never claimed to be a PG podcast. So
that's true, and I'm really proud to have the first F bomb on the show.
So I'm gonna ask: Is this point where? I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. Bill Murray just starts being a miserable old man.
Wasn't like, he born that way?
Well, no, because I'm thinking about like all of his previous films. He could play, you know, a basic comedian like he had been since, you know, SNL days and all of his great movies with Harold Ramis. Yeah. But like,
I think he like the way that he did those roles. Catered to a younger kind of energy, and you can't keep that up forever. So he did have to kind of pivot into a, because it's not as charming seeing a older, like, weathered man.
Uh-huh.
If we were to see him doing like Groundhog Day kind of bits, or not Groundhog Day, but why am I blanking on the freaking golf movie?
Oh,
Caddyshack.
Yeah. Can you imagine like him, how we saw him in Life Aquatic doing Caddyshack bits?
Well, both movies have groundhogs. Yeah.
That's why I went straight for Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he's going after the groundhog.
So,
but it, I mean, it's,
you know, that would only work with that guy who's dead. What's his the guy from like Grumpy Old Men?
Walter Matthau?
Yeah, with the eyebrows. Is that, like...
Yeah. Or...
But we're past that. Walter we're past Matthau. That phase of Hollywood. We don't care. We will... Never mind. Sorry. Go on.
Maybe he'll be in Dennis the Menace.
Oh.
Bill Murray.
He'll play Dennis. Just put freckles on him.
I see, like, I would love if he went back into that. And I'm like, I'm trying to think about his film career from this point on. I was like, he did kind of pivot back towards a funny self in Zombieland.
Oh.
Like, he was really funny in that.
Well, yeah.
He's playing himself, but, like, I guess at this point, I mean, not that Bill Murray isn't, you know, approaching a certain age and stuff like that. And he's always had that... he has a very unique comedy philosophy, like the absurdism or something like that. It's something really, it's very interesting if you look into it. I mean, yeah, he's 73 years old.
Well, this was around the same, Lost in Translation. He kind of plays a very similar mm-hmm. character, right?
I've never seen it.
I saw it once.
Really?
It's pretty good.
I love that movie.
Do you see your future in these characters, Mike?
Mm.
Or a future you'd like to avoid?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to avoid Bill Murray.
Don't go to Charleston.
Certainly.
Right?
Huh. I don't think there's a character that I really identify with in the movie as far as stuff that I see myself navigating to.
Yeah,
honestly, it might be closer to his wife without the money to back it up.
Just the vicious, cold indifference to everything, which I was mentioned to Mike.
Isn't that what the world is turning us all into?
I guess.
That is how I feel, yeah.
Sometimes. And it's so, like you mentioned, it's nice to see Angelica Houston. And I was like, man, it's so weird when I see her and I was like, you were Morticia Adams.
Yeah, she's always Morticia.
she was perfect as Morticia yes. Adams. She really was. So it's, but
that's
she's a great actor
too.
That
Wednesday show.
I've not seen it.
I don't think you would like it.
Okay. So I guess if you were to ask me the question, I also sometimes feel like Steve Zissou as the oldest here. And, like, I wonder if I'm just getting bitter and just, like, I don't think about legacy or anything like that. But I just feel like, am I just going to become that sad old man someday too?
Probably not. You got lots of time.
Oh, thanks, Samantha. Appreciate that. Thumbs up from Samantha, everyone. Wow.
Ned is an enviable character as far as
yeah.
attributes go, but I wouldn't want to die that young.
Nah.
No. And or in a summary.
Or summary. Or fly for Kentucky Air. I wouldn't want to do that either.
That's not even a real airline.
No. Nope, but by God, Wes Anderson is going to find some absurd little uniform for them to wear.
I love that. I was thinking about the question that kickstarted this, and I don't remember ever really thinking of the characters in the movies outside of the movie themselves. I feel like it's the whole thing. Uh-huh. It's like a portal to a very pleasing little world that I like to look at
yeah.
and enjoy.
Yeah.
I love the color schemes and just the, like, the everything being just, like, adjacent to reality, so it's, like, a little bit off-kilter, but not
yeah.
in a way that's totally fantasy.
Isn't that the real magic of movies?
Yeah.
Is to truly distract you from
I mean, as much
your bothers of the world.
As much as I'm as much as I'm ragging on that, it is also my favorite part of his movies, of having these big vibrant colors and these wild little, like, clothing changes and stuff like that that he has for all these folks. it's absurd, but it is my favorite part. And like I said, but it's just so, it's such a standout, like, Wes Anderson thing. Like, it's as much as I like it, I also hold it against him.
Because it's like
it's a crutch for him.
All his like shapes and angles of the buildings and things is very anti-temper.
Symmetrical.
Okay.
Because I feel like they're more like straight lines and just like gentle curves, and then Tim Burton's like, whoa.
So let me ask you guys a question, and this is something that kind of came up when we were talking about Tim Burton and we were talking about Pee-wee. Do you think Wes Anderson could direct a film set in the modern world?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay.
Because I think he has that same strain of like reverence for nostalgia. Like, all of his stuff is old, all the technology is old, all the way he does sets and stuff like that. Like, again, I don't know if Wes Anderson will ever be able to make a movie that's not Wes Anderson.
Oh my god. I would love it if he got to direct like an Avengers movie or something, but they didn't give him any style notes.
I think I would like to see him do like,
he could do a Batman.
Batman.
You know what I think he might be strangely good at? A James Bond film.
Oh,
like set in a different
time. No, I would give him like the leeway of like, I will let you set this James Bond film in the 60s and 70s. You can do that. I'd like to see what he could do with that, though. I think he'd actually be really good at it.
Yeah. Oh, or if he made Man from U.N.C.L.E. instead of Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, Wes Anderson, give us a call.
Yep. We'll
set everything else up for you.
You can give us executive producer credits. We won't do any work, or we have no money to give you to actually be real producers, but, man, you can put us on there.
My rent went up. I have, like, $20 extra.
It's all CGI anyway. That must be what movies cost now.
Yeah,
right?
About $20.
Yeah.
So I think that, thinking more on the question earlier,
okay,
if it ever comes out that I have early onset dementia, I think I would like to be more like Klaus.
Absolutely. The standout character of the film, played excellently by William Dafoe. Like, he is he's a Hollywood celebrity at this point. He is a scene stealer in this movie.
Oh my god, he is.
Klaus.
It will forever be burned in my mind, that scene where he defends Steve, storms out of the room, and then pops his head back in
to watch the group
porthole.
Yes.
And how sweet he was.
Yeah.
With Owen Wilson right there at the end after he made
the flag.
He put him on the flag.
He put him near the dolphin. That means a lot.
I just realized everyone in Wes Anderson movies, they kind of remind me of birds.
Okay.
The way they move.
All right. That is that's an interesting take. I like it. I don't understand it, but I like it.
The way they move reminds me of birds.
Okay. They have
walking. Like whenever they move on the ground.
Yeah, whenever they walk
flying.
Or hop around.
I can see it.
Like I can definitely see it for heads.
But there's something innately funny about bird movement.
Yeah, I love when I see a
not
bird
in
walk.
The air.
Like, it's so funny. You can fly. What are you doing?
Or they'll like perch on the window right here and they just go like.
Yeah, it cracks me up. There's always birds on my balcony railing. Doing stuff.
All right. Well, has anybody got anything else to say about this film, or are we good to call it here?
I'm good.
Greatest movie ever.
No, that'll be our next movie, folks. Not to give you guys too much hype, but boy, am I excited about to talk about our next one.
But, spoiler, it wouldn't.
Oh, no.
Greatest movie ever is my next turn.
Oh, spoiler is you guys don't know what you're in for, and I can't wait. But we'll all have to wait until next time on Fun Sphere Movie Club. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, okay. And we didn't even really talk about the music in this, I just realized. It's great. It's David Bowie. What are you going to say?
David Bowie, Mark Mothersbaugh.
Oh, well, David Bowie. Wow. We'll get to circle back to him in a couple weeks.
You kiss your mother with that Mothersbaugh?